a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Gone, but not forgotten. Watching at the bedside of a dying loved one, there comes a gasping cry. Oh, he's gone! He's gone! How true! For he is no longer in that body, but he has left it. He is gone. And as we visit the cemetery, we read the inscription relatives have had engraven on those memorials, gone, but not forgotten. Some are remembered for their kindnesses, while others bring a sigh of relief that they are gone. But what does that word gone mean? Are they still existing while removed to another place? How true. Gone, but where have they gone? Must we just wonder at what the after death means for each human that leaves here? God has not left us bewildered in the dark, but in his book, the Holy Bible, he has revealed the future to us. We know the body is in the casket and lowered into the grave with all its members, eyes, ears, mouth, and so forth. But what about the person, the living soul? That was the vital part of the person. That is the big question, and so important, we must have divine revelation, a certainty. All of man's speculations are only vain imaginations. The doctor and the scientists know nothing, and you and I know nothing. So, as little children, let us all bow at the throne of divine revelation with this one question: where has that soul gone? The Bible reveals to us in words so plain, and in language so descriptive, we need no priest, rabbi, or preacher to decipher the mysterious after death. That word of God tells us that there are but two abodes of the soul after death. The one is the paradise of the third heaven, where the Lord's redeemed souls wait for the first resurrection at the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the living saints on earth shall be caught up to be forever with the Lord Jesus whom they love. At that moment, the very bodies of all his people, of all generations, from Abel to that hour, shall be resurrected, and shall come forth from the dust of the earth, the waters of the seas, and the atmosphere, and shall be united to their souls as they descend with Christ from paradise. Then all the dead and living saints of God will be together and rise into heaven, no longer as disembodied souls, but entire human beings in their incorruptible and immortal bodies, and changed into the likeness of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They shall be forever with the Lord Jesus, whom they love and adore, and whose praises they will sing till all heaven resounds with, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the Bible's answer to where the real Christians have gone when they leave here at death. Neighbor, if you're a genuine Christian, this is your portion. But if not, then where have all the others gone at death? That is likewise so definitely described in the Bible, and that in the very words of Jesus, the Son of God himself. He told us that when they breathe their last, they have gone into hell, a place of flaming fire. And though their eyes remain in their casket, yet their soul sees, and that soul with no ears of flesh to microphone sound, yet that soul hears, and that soul with no mouth or tongue of flesh, yet it speaks and cries in its misery, and with the nerves still in the entombed body, yet that soul suffers such distress, it wails, I'm tormented in this flame. And with no brain to draw from, yet that soul remembers the past and recalls it with precise accuracy. I have there five brethren. And that soul, finding it's too late for mercy to him, he asked for someone to go to warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Gone! How solemn! How terrible! And no hope! Neighbor, it may be that some Christians on earth are praying for your lost soul to be saved. But do you know that your relatives who have died without Christ, they are praying for you? What? That's right. If you and I could get near to hell, we would hear such cries of agony we could not stand it. And then you would hear them praying for you. What? Praying for me in hellfire? Yes. And they're praying that someone go and warn you before you too are gone from earth into hell. I am the answer to that prayer. And I take my stand between your precious eternal soul on earth and hellfire. I beseech you to get right with God. How can you? As a man of God, I will tell you. Get alone with God, and in repentance confess you are such a wicked sinner, you deserve to go to hell fire for your sins against God. Then thank him for his long suffering with you, and beg for his mercy on you for Jesus' sake. The man in hell knew why he was there. He would not repent. And every unrepentant man goes to hell fire. So be sure that you truly repent before God. Then thank the Lord Jesus for telling you of hellfire, and call upon him to save you from such an eternity and make you one of his redeemed people. Confess to him that from this hour you do yield to him as your Lord and Savior to do his will. And you now trust yourself to him alone as your Savior from your sins to live the life of a true Christian. Then wait for his answer. It will not come through your ears of flesh, nor eyes in your head, but in your inner soul he will make real to you that he has received you to be his own, and he'll never cast you out. From that eventful hour in your life, you will love God, and you will adore the blessed Lord Jesus, as you can say, I am my Lord's and he is mine forever. And when you are gone from here, it will be to be with Christ in paradise, as he said to the dying thief, today, that is the very day and hour of his death, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Make today the day of your salvation, as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and at your death, today will be with Christ in paradise. Amen.